Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
All right, good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another Live the Fuel show. So today we're bringing back to you yet another returning co-host. This is his second appearance on the show. Last time we were catching up, heck, this show was still pretty darn new. So he was one of my early adopters as far as co-host relationships. And last time we chatted, we weren't doing Zoom yet, so we didn't have video, we didn't have a YouTube feeds going. There's been a lot of stuff happening on the Live Fuel side, but I'm looking forward to catching up with this gentleman because for any of you guys who had listened to some of the older episodes, his brand is called Freelance to Freedom. And the reason why we're catching up here today is because there's a book launch that's happening, and there's a whole lot of exciting stuff to catch up with this guy. He's a professional photographer. This guy's been on the field of like Pittsburgh Steelers and I don't even know how many other stadiums, and it's ridiculous. This guy gets around the block, and he's just another one of those fellow networking connections I've gained over the years recently. Actually, thanks to Michael O'Neill of the Solopreneur Hour, so shout out to Michael. So without further ado, though, let's catch up with the man behind Freelance to Freedom, Vincent Puglisi. How you doing, sir?
What's going on, man? I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well, sir. And literally right before we hit record, you were just saying you were you got some recording stuff happening these days as well, right? The podcast stuff has entered your world too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because last time we chatted, that wasn't going yet either.
No, like it's crazy what's been going on. Like it's just the getting around. I never realized what went into a book. And what go, you know, it was like, oh, I'm going to write a book. It's like, you have no idea. Like, and I heard the saying, you know, oh, you wrote your book. Great. 10% of the work is done. And it's totally true. So it's a fun process. But,
well, admittedly, I keep in the back of my mind, I've always had this goal. We might have even talked about it. It's been so long since we've had that episode about me considering maybe doing a book one day with the whole hotshot background and the transition. It's like, admittedly, it's kind of daunting. It's like, man, I don't know when I'm going to find the time to do it. I hear all these people saying, oh, you just make the time. You start writing in your free time. I mean, what did it take for you to really just pull the ripcord, man, and just start writing?
That's a great question because I haven't talked to very many people about this. And I think when I do, people are interested in it.
I'm definitely interested in it. So, hey, audience, I hope you're interested because whether you like it or not, I want to hear it.
I had the same process because it seems so big. The book is about 72,000 words, which is bigger than most books these days. You see a lot of
72,000 words. How many pages is that?
You know, it depends on how it's laid out.
Yeah.
But in raw form, without all the spaces, it's around 180 pages. It'd probably be more like 240.
Okay.
It's probably what it'll wind up being.
So the first number is if like you typed it up in like a Word document or something like that. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. But you'll see a lot of these kind of, I guess, mini books you'll see now, 25,000. That's much more popular. But what I did was I just, like, it seems so daunting to say it, just like you said it, but what I did was I spent, and I'm not a structured guy. I'm just not. But what I did was I woke up in the morning and the first hour of the day I wrote. And I did that 5 days a week. And my buddy, Ken Carfagno, who wrote a book called Arctic Land, it was an interactive book between a dad and their kids. It's a great book. He gave me the advice and he said, you need flow when you write a book. And I never had flow with anything, right? I just hit and miss. So every day, 5 days a week, 4 to 5 days a week, I would spend that first hour of work writing the book and then I would be done. I didn't keep going. I stopped because I had other things to do. We have three kids. We homeschool.
Well, yeah, you only have a family to take care of. It's no big deal.
Yeah, yeah. And other businesses and stuff like that. But writing the book was, so I spent an hour. But what happened was the first couple of days was really tough because like, what do I write about? But I would write. And then when I would close the computer after about 4 or 5 days, I knew where I was going to leave off and start writing the next day. So literally as soon as I opened the computer, I just started typing. Hmm. And that went on the whole, but the problem was when I took 3 or 4 days off, then starting up again was tough. But once you got back into it,
I was going to ask you about that. So there's so many people who nowadays like, oh, once you write a book, now all of a sudden like you're a guru and you're going to coach other people on how to write a book. Some people are doing that.
Nuh-uh.
But I've heard different people writing and they say, you don't always write the book in like a sequential dated order. Like sometimes a chapter just comes to you and you write it. Did that happen with you or how?
Oh yeah. It's funny because Morgan James Publishing, they're the ones publishing my book.
Right.
And you know, they get like 5,000 submissions and they take about 140 books a year. So the shot was difficult to begin with. But once I got the book deal, and actually, you know, the serendipity of it was incredible, which is a whole nother story. But once I did, I heard him on a podcast, because people are like, how do I get my book published with you? So he laid down all the things he explained to do to really get your book published. And I did everything the exact opposite. I did it exactly the opposite.
So of what they recommended.
Yes. Yeah.
I hear this a lot too. Like, it, just because they're giving you the supposed success template, not everybody is following it anymore. People kind of doing their own thing. Everybody's getting crazy and wild.
Well, if I would have listened to it, I probably would have done it. But I had already written the book and I had already gotten the book deal. And then I heard it and I was like, huh, like I didn't do any of that. It's like, have a clear outline, have this. I'm like, no, I just started writing. You know, and it was funny because I was really going through a really difficult point in my life when I was going through adrenal fatigue. I wasn't sleeping. Mm-hmm. I was sleeping like 2 nights, you know, 2 hours a night. I was having some really kind of like just issues, but it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me because I was in so much mental pain and so much sleep struggle that I really just poured myself out into it. And I didn't really care. I never expected to get a book deal anyway. So I spent an hour a day writing and then I was done with it, but I cleared it out of my mind. And then I wrote down the things I wanted to write about or how the book would go. And it, you know, that went on for 6 months and that's how the book got written.
6 months.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all it took.
That's all it took.
I hear about people saying like, oh man, it took me a year or two, or other people like, this is one of those life journeys. I mean, I guess everybody's different. It depends on how it flows.
Well, I also wrote a blog years ago that I eventually stopped that were a lot of these ideas and thoughts and stories. And I've been writing the ideas down for, if you saw my list of notes.
Oh, so you had like a journal of like random notes and stuff. Okay.
Oh yeah. All right. Years of that. Yeah. It wasn't like I sat down and just started writing. No. I had fallback ideas and stories to go back to, but putting that together in a book is a whole different story.
Yeah, so for our listeners and also for our YouTube watchers, I just brought up, so you were way back on episode 11. So
What are you at now?
80 is coming up.
Wow, are you really? Congratulations.
80 on Friday. 2 a week, man. I'm just popping them out.
Well, I feel special because I heard somebody say that I think a majority of podcasters are done before their 80th episode. So look at this.
I've heard people not even get past like 4 to 7 episodes. Like there's all these different there's all these different thresholds, I guess. And but like literally, yeah, I mean, I launched in September. So you were just one of my early episodes. So again, to our listeners, guys, and the watchers, you can just go to livethefield.com and search for his name, or just do like livethefield.com/011. Go back, man. Like obviously you're listening to Vincent today, but you know, catch up on where he was. Like, hold on, what was the date on this? I don't even know.
That was
October 3rd.
Yeah.
We were, and this was really more of that episode was more about you and I catching up because of the Michael O'Neill referral and the connection. And you had all these ideas about Freelance to Freedom and you're building your personal brand. Cause we were in a lot of our own private coaching communities. I think you were in Solo Lab with me and everything else. So it was just funny how he just decided, hey man, let's do a podcast. Let's get the story out there. And now boom, you're back again. And we're catching up even further. So, actually this is kind of funny. The image I'm sharing on the screen right now is the same thing behind you on the frame picture I'm watching on your video.
That's right.
I just put that together.
I tell you, that was my first two-page spread in Sports Illustrated. And my wife, without me knowing, called up Sports Illustrated and got what's called the match print, which is literally the print that they make to make the image in the magazine.
Right.
So it's a 16 by 24 from them. It's not even a photograph. It's match print.
That you had to order it that way?
She got it from them. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And then how did we get this image? Was that just a scanned image then that she was able to reproduce? Or they gave her the digital?
No, I got the digital somehow. I'm not sure how that worked.
Okay.
But yeah, that was a funny story.
Well, the other thing is, again, for our watchers here, I'm going to go ahead and just bring up your site too. So again, for people listening in, Freelance to Freedom. Now, this is his brand. Obviously, and we talked about this on your first episode back on 11, that branding, and Michael talks about this, branding can be, you could build a brand behind a title like Live the Fuel, or you could build a brand behind your name. So clearly for you, you're using your name because the website address is vincentpugliese.com. So yeah. P-U-G-L-I-E-S as in Sam E.com. You can go here, check it out, start your, literally the button right there is start your journey. I love that. But master your money, love your work, control your time. So we've caught up a little bit here, but let's dive right in. Like again, from October till now,
yeah,
a lot has happened.
Lots
I mean, happened. This site didn't even exist in October.
No. Where do we even start? I mean, it's been a while, but I'll follow your lead. I'm not sure which way you want to
right
go.
Here. So I just scrolled down for our people watching on YouTube. Right here, you kind of give people a little bit of a short dive in. You talk about when you were 32, you're married, you're earning $15 an hour, $140,000 in debt. I myself am chiseling away at my own debt from my own mistakes. So you and I can relate on that. So why did you put that little excerpt there right on the main site? Like, why did you want to dive right into that?
Because I think so many people are in that same spot, and you're seeing, you know, a lot of times I get frustrated in this avenue when I see the like kind of the gurus, which I don't ever consider myself to be. I get very frustrated because like I'll hear people like, you know, I was making this much money and I couldn't live like that. So then I made $1 million next year, and now we're gonna. And I'm like, but where's that in between point? That's what I don't really care about $1 million and beyond. That's wonderful. Give it away. Whatever. That doesn't really interest me. What interests me is how do you go from that point where you're struggling and stuck to the point where you can actually live the life that you want? Right. Wealth is not a big deal to me. It's not interesting to me. I don't know. I grew up around a lot of wealthy people when I wasn't. It was nothing that I ever strived for, but what I wanted was time freedom. And I wanted money freedom. I didn't want that to be a stress in my life to me and my kids. I'm not worried about massive wealth. So beyond there really is kind of, that's for them to talk about. But for me, how can I help people get there?
Well, this came up on a recent episode, actually, and we were talking about that word wealth. Mm-hmm. And I throw around a quote very often about our health is our true wealth. And you yourself have a kind of a backstory on that because you kind of slightly hinted at it about a few minutes ago about, you know, besides the financial stuff, you had some adrenal fatigue, there's some health issues. So it's like, here in the States, here in the US of A, we are one of the best, you know, we claim to be one of the best countries on the planet, but we drive ourselves so hard and demand so much from each other and ourselves internally that I think we lose track of what the hell real health and real wealth is really about. Mm-hmm. And I know that is part of your story.
Totally. So. Totally. I think we strive so much for income and money and status in a lot of ways that what I try to teach, and even in terms of what I guess quote unquote the brand is, I coach people on this and I do masterminds with it because I think so many people believe that the more income they make, if they could just make more money, that's going to be the answer. And it is hardly ever the answer. I'm like, I'm an advocate for making less money when the situation arises for it.
Yeah, because you got to pay more taxes.
Well, it's funny because I was talking to a friend of mine who, I mean, he makes, I don't know if he's at an income of $1 million a year, but we're talking about it. He high six figures. Mm-hmm. And I said, the point, and it's funny, the best point in our life financially was right around $125,000. And we both laughed because we both said the same thing. It was at the point where we could do what we wanted to do. We didn't pay very much in terms of taxes because when you're self-employed and you go to conferences and you invest in yourself, you reduce your taxable income a lot.
Oh yeah. That's one of the beauty of exploring entrepreneurship. Even if you're only doing it as a part-time hustle, you've just opened up another whole way to what you just kind of hinted at was kind of create some new balance, some financial balance. Like, listen, these aren't loopholes. These are systems put in place in our government to help businesses succeed. So don't feel bad about taking advantage of them. Like, put them to work.
Oh, Rich Dad, Poor Dad had a huge influence. I don't know if you ever read that book, Kiyosaki. And
it's in the library.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that book changed my... We were newspaper employees. I was making not very much money. We were starting our side business, which at first was wedding photography. And I read that book, and there was one chapter about taxes that was boring at first. And then it was, he basically said, so simply, here's the difference between the rich people and the poor people. The rich people are self-employed. The poor people are essentially employees, right? The rich people, and I'm like, huh? I'm like, no. So I was, you know, mentally pushed back. I'm like, that's really arrogant. And then I read it, and he basically says, here's the difference. Self-employed people make money. They spend it on what they need within their business, and then they pay taxes. Everybody else makes money, pays taxes, and then they get the rest.
Yeah.
And I remember reading that and thinking, that was $20,000 last year, what he just said.
Well, and then fast forward that methodology, because when did he release that nugget of knowledge? Was that the 70s or was that the 80s?
I'm not sure exactly.
Hold on, you think about that real sec. I'm going to grab this.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, this is a great pod. But seriously, like, I'm trying to think it's like the 80s.
Was it that? Okay. I think it was chapter 11, if I had it correctly. If you, Could be wrong, but that chapter.
I don't just have the physicals. I also have the
look at you.
Oh yeah, I keep all this stuff because every look time I come that. Across a coaching client, I lend them my stuff. I'm like, if you don't have the money, here, do this instead.
I love
it. I'm just trying to see when these CDs were even printed. I mean, his whole brand was, you know, business of the 21st century building. What is this here? Well, anyway, the point is, this guy has been doing it for a long time. I mean, he built his own like version of the Monopoly game around everything that he talks about. So it's interesting that he, to this day, is still a huge best-selling author. And actually, did you read his Cash Flow Quadrant?
I did. Oh, yeah.
Another great book, right?
Yeah. See, yeah. I'll be honest, I'm not a huge fan of the whole real estate part of it. I'll be honest with you, because I'm very much against getting rid of all your debt and being free. And he is not. And I get that. But this part of it, I mean, it is pure gold. It is pure gold to me.
Well, I think part of it is that, and again, his whole story behind Rich Dad, Poor Dad was not so much like he was like trying to brag about like, hey, I had a rich dad and blah, blah, blah. He was trying to just like show people like, dude, I grew up with a poor-minded father, his real father. Because he was stuck in the system. He was a teacher and a professor.
Government employee.
And I've been a W-2. I've been a government employee with the firefighting. Now I'm independent. And I literally have a client of mine who's basically a huge chunk of my business income. And I hate leaning that heavily on one leg, but you know, it takes time to build out. And long story short, she's like, why can't you just come on board? Why can't you just be my employee? And she's like, it's not going to change anything. I'm like, oh, yes, it will.
Oh, yeah, it will.
Oh, yes, it will. Yeah, I was everything. Like, I'm not coming on. I was like, it ain't happening.
It's only going to change everything. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't get it. And I was like, you're an entrepreneur. You should get it.
But I think a lot of people just have a lot of fear. When I talk to people about, there's a fear of like, what do you do about this? What do you do about security? And I mean, that the whole thing is, it's a farce. There is no, I mean, when we were doing weddings, I still remember talking to an employee that I worked with and we had 30 weddings booked that year. She's like, aren't you worried, you know, about like the security of it? And I said, I should have been. I said, if one person fires me or two people fire me, that's, you know, a small percentage of our income. If one person fires you, you're out. Hmm. And they were like, and every new one we get, we're getting at higher prices. And word of mouth is growing more and more with everything, as long as you do it well. And like, it was such an obvious thing. Like, we've been so blinded by that of the security thing that I think people are starting to wake up to it. And that's what's so exciting about what I get to do. I'm based around self-employment.
And it's not, it's scary. Let's be real. You know, it's not easy for a lot of people. And actually, real quick, I did, I Wikipedia'd it, and they're saying that the book was written in 1997. So that's 20 years, man. It's been 20 years already. So that's why I was like throwing around 70s or 80s. It still feels like that's 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
I just realized that we're just getting older.
That was 40 years ago.
I was like, oh, crap. That is 20 years ago.
It's only 20.
I graduated high school 2 years before this book came out. I'll be 40 this year. So,
congrats.
Yeah. So the point here, though, is this, guys, like to our listeners, like what we're talking about here is not a matter of, we're not saying go out and start your own business today. We're just trying to share some of the life-changing experiences from it. Like, this didn't happen overnight for you, Vin. It didn't happen overnight for me. It took us just starting to take the time. Like, you were in the newspaper industry and you just eventually got fed up and decided, wow, we got to pull the ripcord and figure out how to start doing this ourselves and control our income.
Yeah, especially in that field where everything, I mean, it still is falling apart. I have somebody in my old newspaper that just got laid off last week or 2 weeks ago. And
how long they been there?
35 years.
Boom. There we go. Right.
And
that's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking, but what's even more heartbreaking is they were stunned by it. Hmm. And I'm like, you know, after that, after your heart is about, you feel you, I sat down and can't think like, how do these people not see it coming?
Yeah.
How do you not see it? Like, if you work in these fields, the chances are this is going to happen sooner than later in so many ways.
Sure.
Not for everybody, but the writing's on the wall. And that's why I think, I know you said like you shouldn't start a business right now, but I really think more and more everybody needs something on the side for in a great majority, because you don't know, even when you're in your own business, you need something else. You want multiple streams of income, because if any of this dries up in any way, say you have online courses or you do coaching or you have this, it's always the benefit when something is going well, you start something and right. you work there, because it always keeps you challenged. And then if you don't want to do that as much anymore, you have the ability now to bring it down or to raise your prices. But if you're stuck, whether it's a job or a business, with one thing, you're vulnerable.
Well, so like on your website, when you scroll down through praise for freelance and freedom section, next to the image of the book, you have there three important statements here: mastering your money, which you kind of already talked about, love your work, and control your time. And this is what you're talking about right now here, is that, yeah, sometimes you do have to put a lot more time in to find the components of your maybe current business or future business to allow you to find these tasks that you end up doing to make money, to, mm-hmm. to help you figure out, oh, that is what I love to do. That's not what I love to do. So I'll yes. keep doing this, but I'm not going to do this anymore. It exactly. takes time. You got to put in the reps.
Like for instance, right now, the wedding business catapulted us, but then we got to do corporate. We got to do other stuff. People then eventually, the more you're successful, the more people want to be around you, mm-hmm. which I've learned the funny way. It's like, oh, nobody. I heard Tony Robbins tell the story about, like, you know, everybody wants to buy him dinner. He's like, where were you guys when I was broke at Denny's?
Yeah.
Like, nobody wanted to do it then, but you start seeing that something works really well. Then people want to know about it. Then guess what? They will actually hire you to teach them about that. So now you have this going on and that going on. So then what we basically said is, well, we really don't want to shoot weddings as much anymore. So we've been able to reduce that. So now we used to count on 30 weddings a year. We have 4 this year. We could have none next year. It makes no difference, because we've replaced that with other streams of income that we want to do more. And we always have that option.
Well, and the funny thing about not just creating a diversified income stream kind of portfolio is the other piece that I've recently added into my financial mastery. It's not perfect yet, but
never is.
I brought on the author of Profit First. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you followed any of his content.
I haven't read it, but I've heard so many good things about him recently that I have to.
I've implemented his entire system as of a few months ago. So okay. I recommend the book. Oh. I recommend you go back and listen to that episode, because it is awesome. And he also brought me on his show, and I came right out and told everybody the financial mistakes I've made and the different monies that I'm working with now. I was completely transparent, because I told them, like, listen, number one, no one's ever come out to their studio in New Jersey before. And I said, well, I'll drive out. Like, I'll come meet you in person. We'll sit down. We'll bust out a podcast episode on his show. And I'll be one of your listeners that you guys can, you know, show true transparency. Because like you said earlier, like, I'm not looking to BS anybody. I'm not trying to say that I am the world's most perfect guru. Yeah. Anybody who's out there who says that is full of shit. Like, you have to make mistakes to learn things. And I've made a lot of them.
And that's the key, though, right?
Yes.
It's the key.
Yes. So we've made our mistakes. We've talked about things we've learned and gained. And you've come a long way with Freelance to Freedom. So, and that's why I told you to still come on and do this episode, because you were talking about some messaging earlier that there's some different timeline things happening. So why don't we catch listeners up on, like, what's happening now? Because this is going to air basically, I think, next week. So this will air, I think, maybe as early as Monday. I'll double check the date for you. I always keep you in a loop anyway.
Yeah.
So with this transition from May into June of 2017, where you're at today and what's happening in the next few months, like, catch us up on that timeline.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. Well, we just launched, when we talked in October, this was not even an idea. Mm-hmm. And building off of this whole idea of create, what I love to do is, and I'll answer your question in a second. What yeah. I love to do is help in terms of, like, finding something that you are good at that you undervalue. So for instance, my sports photography, when I was a newspaper photographer, I made 32 grand a year, right? And I was primarily a sports photographer, and I got paid for the insight and what I knew about it. Well, I never thought for a second that people would pay me for that knowledge, except for through a magazine or a newspaper. So I hooked up with a guy named Kyle Schultz, who runs a thing called Schultz Photo School. It's an online photo school. And this was back in November, so a month after our call. Hmm. And we had this brief conversation. He told me about his business. I told him about mine. And I basically said, I have an idea. And he goes, yes. I'm like, this is the whole time freedom thing and money freedom. I said, this idea. And he goes, yes. I'm like, you don't even know what I'm going to ask you. And he said, go ahead, ask. And I said, I should do a sports photography course for your school. And he goes, that's exactly what I was thinking. let's do it. So
wow.
a month later, the layout of the course was, I've never done an online course before. He's done multiple. So this is something where I have know what I know. He knows what he knows. Good teamwork. And so we did this course. We did a free course that we gave an email, and boom, boom, boom. So we just launched the course 2 weeks ago. We're still doing a charter. So we had one module done. We actually just recorded some of it today. We're doing more this weekend. We launched this charter course in 5 days. Actually, in the first day, it made more than my annual salary as a newspaper photographer.
Boom. There's a wake-up call.
Yeah. 52 grand in 5 days it brought in. That's wow. The charter. That's not even...
That's just through your connection to that one guy in his school.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He's got an email list of 80,000 people and a thriving online community, which I didn't have, but I had 23 years of experience shooting professional sports, shooting, you know, in every stadium, World Series, Super Bowl. So it's like, that was very attractive to his market. We put that together, but it never would have crossed my mind as an employee to even think like that.
No.
It would have always been, I need to get paid X amount for this assignment. And if I'm not there, I don't get money.
You know, what's really popping into my head right now, just hearing this from you, is this new word that we're hearing thrown around a lot more. It's not even a new word, but I hear it more in the past 6 months, but everybody's talking about this word pivot. Mm-hmm. Like in your business.
Jenny Blake wrote a book about it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So like, yeah. Right. Using it either in your career, in your love life, or in very popular, I'm hearing it more and more in the entrepreneurial space, is that if your business isn't going the way you want it to do, you got to pivot. If your career is not going the way you want to do, you got to pivot. So that's what I just had to say that because it's just ringing in my head right now. Cause all I hear from you is like, dude, all you had to do was you had all the experience, all the knowledge. You just hadn't had the experience to teach you, oh, if I just pivot and reapply that in a different domain, in a different platform, boom, I can monetize it.
And so many people have this opportunity and they don't even see it. Mm-hmm. And that's what's, it's exciting and frustrating at the same time because I love it.
Well, I think that's something the listeners can take away from this, guys. Like if you're hearing what he's saying, listeners, and guys and girls, sorry, I always say guys all the time. So the ladies too, there's a lot of very successful female entrepreneurs out there right now. It doesn't matter what your sexual preference is. The point here is what he's saying is like, dude, put in that thought in your head and just consider it. And it doesn't mean you have to have a perfect idea today. All we're asking you to do is start thinking differently. And that's really, I have a feeling you probably have a whole chunk of that in your book too, right?
Oh,
I
mean,
you got it. Freelance to freedom. Like freelancing is not a perfect system, but you have to like be willing to think differently and apply it.
Oh, it's huge. But I think so many people undervalue what they know well, and they settle for what somebody else says it's worth. Mm. And then they go, well, that's it. Like my ceiling at the newspaper was $32,000 or $35,000. That's what they said. And you're going to have to work extra. You have to do this. Whether it's 32 grand or 80 grand, or 120 or 300, I think people do that to themselves all the time. This is what security is. This is what they told me I'm worth, and not realizing, you know, that the course right there. And even with something like the course that anybody can do with something that they have knowledge for, that's going to make money year after year. And the work has already been done. You can keep updating it. You keep making, and then when you free up money stress, right? And then you free up time stress. So I don't need to go into an assignment every day shooting this or that. I do what I want to do. With that extra time, you get mental clarity. You get other ideas. You get more connections. You can go to other conferences. You meet more successful people. Hmm. You build other acquaintances and things together with people so that other businesses grow. That's how, you know, everybody talks about the government, blah, blah, blah. I don't pay very much attention to it, you know, left or right. But I will say they're not going to solve your problems either way. This is what does it.
No, I've always said that. I have friends of mine that are very hardcore political. And if that's their choice, great. But in the end, we are all responsible for our own lives, our own businesses. So stop blaming everybody else and take control. If you don't like your cap or your ceiling on your job, then start a side hustle. Because it might be 5-10 years until that side hustle becomes something. Maybe that falls flat in its face. It could, though, be a stepping point to something else and something else.
And you're going
to
learn
something.
At least
you're doing something and you're learning. Yes. Yes.
That's like Mark Cuban says all the time. He goes, even if you start a business, you fail, you learned something, you did something you liked.
Yeah.
You know, but what I think most people, and it was like, well, what's the biggest mistake? And I really think I'll see this all the time, either with coaching or forums, and people like, I want to do what I'm passionate about. And I think that's a big mistake. I think it's really dangerous because what I will guide people right away is how can you help? And this has become not cliche, but it goes the way since the world started. How can you help other people?
Right.
Because when you're just thinking about what you need, nobody cares that I like shooting sports games. Nobody's going to pay me for that, right? Because I like to do it.
Right.
They're going to pay me if they need me to do it and if it fits their thing. But you can take that same idea and help other people do what you've already learned, you're helping others. You're not thinking, so it's not what's in it for me. It's mm-hmm. what I can do to share to somebody else. And that took me a really long time because I had a mentality of what do I get? That took a really long time to beat it out of me.
Well, you know, I think I'm guilty of it too. Like we're driven that way sometimes in life because we're pressured by so many different areas. But until you've built up that freedom that you've been hinting about here throughout your journey, it's like once you start building some freedom into your life and you start realizing that there's a bigger picture here, it's not just about me, right? It's how am I helping other people? That's something else. It's a big definition of a true entrepreneur is that it's not about what I need. It's what my clients need, the people that I'm helping, whether it be coaching or mentoring, or you're just, you're the baker down the street.
Exactly.
It's not what you want. It's what your customers want. And if you have that one product on the shelf that isn't selling, maybe you want to stop making it because it's not what your customers want.
And even though you love making it, it doesn't mean they're going
to
buy it.
Yep. Yeah, you could praise it up and down, like, oh man, I love making these. You guys need to buy it. Like, no, like, seriously, don't push that down their throat.
But how many times do you see that within business? This is the best thing. Like, no, you got to let them figure out what it is and make it better and serve them well.
I tell people all the time, like, you have so much free data available to us from a marketing perspective. If you have an existing customer base, why don't you send them a survey? Ask them questions. Ask them what they feel is the next step in that company or in that, what would they like to see next? What's a new product launch, a new service launch? Because you already have a captive audience. They're already buying from you. They're already investing in you. So I tell people all the time, it's cheaper to keep a customer than it is to acquire a new one.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And even with the survey, what I love to do even now is I like to just send personal messages and ask.
Oh, yeah.
And just reach out. And so many people don't do it. People don't get personal messages. I mean, that's what grows. Every business we've done has been grassroots to start. It's never mm-hmm. been a big investment. It's never been Facebook ads. It's always been grassroots to start. And you grow it from, I love just Seth Godin in terms of start with the smallest audience you can serve and serve them wonderfully and then keep going from there. But that's hard to do because we want instant success. But
a lot of us would love, and there is those rare cases where some people have instant success, but even in those stories, if you peel back the layers, there's some hustle behind that. Okay.
Always.
Yeah. It seemed like it was turnkey, but like, I love like on your website, again, to our listeners, that section where you have praise for freelancer freedom, you got little comments there from John Lee Dumas, for example. I have both of his journals on the shelf behind me, right? Those, crowdfunded launches, the first one, the Freedom Journal.
Yep.
That was powerful, man. Like he outranked so many other book launches. It was ridiculous. But you know how much work it took to get him to that point?
Exactly.
He could write a whole book just on that.
And him and Pat Flynn, Pat Flynn, Smart Passive Income. The dude's incredible. It's like, oh, you know, so everybody's like, oh, I want passive income. Pat's working.
Yeah.
He is constantly working. And he's not doing it for the money. I mean, he makes enough money. He doesn't have to, but he loves helping other people out. So he does that. And I think that gets, I did it. I had a year where I didn't have to work less than 15 days in a year. Mm-hmm. And it sounds wonderful. And it was wonderful while, and it got completely boring. Even with kids, you start going kind of crazy because like, I need to do something. I need to add value. And now I work more, but what I love everything that I do. That's the beautiful thing is you get to eliminate the things you don't want to do. Mm-hmm. And add, like, I'll ask people, how much of your work do you not like doing? And I'm really at a very low percentage at this point in my life.
That's exciting, isn't it?
It is, because you enjoy.
But again, timeline. How long did it take to you get to this point where you have such a low percentage? There's multiple years here we're talking about here. This doesn't happen overnight. So the biggest thing that I've had to constantly coach myself on before I can even coach other people is that patience. That, what was that old saying? Patience is a virtue, right?
Yeah.
You know how hard it is to build that into ourselves as a virtue? We're always battling with it. I still battle with it to this day. It's hard, man.
And it gets harder with social media and phones. And I'll tell you, and this is a story from my book. It was, I wanted to work for the Associated Press mm-hmm. so bad. I went in New York City, Rockefeller Center. It's like, that was the hub.
Heck yeah, man.
It was, and that wasn't your New York newspaper assignments. It was, everything was international. You know, the Dalai Lama came to town. I was with him, you know, the UN. So I wanted this gig. It was freelance. And I called, Jonathan Elmer was the editor. And he called me back and set a time, and then he canceled. Every single time he canceled. So I think it was 6 or 8 weeks. I had a Monday phone call each time. And then finally said, okay, come on in. And I actually made it in there. And the first thing he said to me, he said, Vincent, I want to thank you for your patience and your persistence, because without either, we wouldn't be here. And I still remember third floor Rockefeller Center looking out the window. I was like, patience and persistence. Mm-hmm. And I was 26 then. And I've
what
never
year was
forgot
that?
That was 1997. Same year Rich Dad Poor Dad came out.
And
I just didn't know about it.
And, all right, so Dalai Lama was on a he was going around the country.
I photographed him in New York, yeah.
So yeah. I saw him that year.
No, you didn't.
At Lehigh University here in Pennsylvania.
That's probably like right at the same time.
It had to have been like literally the same week or something. Like when he was on his circuit and he spoke at Lehigh University, and I couldn't remember what year until right now. And I'm like, crap, I think that was literally, because I was
97 or 98. It had to have been.
I had graduated high school and I was going to Penn State University at the time. And I was going to a local campus here in Lehigh Valley, and I saw that pop up on a flyer, and I was like, hell out. Dalai Lama's here in Pennsylvania. Like I got to see this guy speak.
That's so funny.
And he talked about patience. Like, first of all, anything that Dalai Lama says, you're going to listen. I mean, that guy is just amazing. But yes, that's crazy how we connected on that. That's awesome.
That's so funny. I now have to see the schedule of that. I have to see what the time, because I was with the whole day with him, and I had to have been. And here's the most frustrating part for me. I don't know where that picture is. I shot those pictures. There's so many assignments.
Are you serious?
I don't know where it is. I can't find it online. If anybody can find that for me, please.
There you go. See, Vince is giving you guys a shout out. Like, hook this guy up. Track down his photos.
Somebody help me out.
Well, did you take the photo? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was with
But you don't
day,
know where it is?
I didn't have the negatives, because that's back when negatives, and I transmitted, I brought it back in there. It's somewhere in the Associated Press site, I think.
Really?
Even just one of the images, because it's just kind of cool.
You know, and now that I'm thinking about this, I didn't see him at Lehigh. I've seen the Dalai Lama twice. Okay. Once was right after high school. It wasn't there. Maybe he was in Philadelphia. It was somewhere else. Because now that I'm thinking about it, I had to Google it here. I saw him again in 2008, though. So 2008 was Lehigh University.
Okay.
I got to track down 1997. I'm going to do the same thing you do. I'm going to try and track down where the heck did I see him at? Because obviously the one in was easier to track down when, when it's popping in my head like that. But it's crazy, though. The guy is such a powerful influence, and I love his demeanor. And that guy is an epitome of patience.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, if you can learn from it. And you put those things like the patience and the persistence, because that was the whole thing. Is like, if you have patience, you could be really lackadaisical and get nothing done. And if you have persistence, you could really annoy the crap out of people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you have patience and persistence and you know how to balance those, no matter what you're doing, if you won't stop, but you also will know how to go at the right pace. And I think that's really important.
I tell people that on time when it comes to sales training, sales and marketing 101. It's like, listen, you want to be persistent, but don't be a jerk, right?
Yeah.
Like, you got to balance the persistency with the patience, because it shows that you're mature and that you're willing to wait. But also, you balance with the persistence, showing that you're a go-getter, but you got to find that sweet spot. Don't be the annoying.
Well, just think about go-getter. It right now with a book. I have a book coming out. What I know I'm not going to be is that guy, that book guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Pound you with everything, constant posts. No.
No, cycle it in. That's why I told you to come on here now, because there's so much other stuff happening here coming up. Because it's like, listen, let's just trickle, the updates in. And also in the Google world, it takes time for these keywords to recognize. So you already have the one back on episode 11. Then we'll have this one. This will be like 80 or 81 or 82 or one of those. And then we bring it back in. Because what was the other date you were talking about coming up?
We're looking at January 2nd is when it's in bookstores.
Okay, that's when it's physically hitting the bookstores.
Yeah, it'll be out in December. But either way. But the point is, you learn what not to do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot, as much as you learn what to do. Like, it gets to the point when the book comes out, you don't want to get to the point where people don't even want to even hear about it, right?
Yeah.
And what is the point of writing a book? I could care less. I'll be honest with you. I could care less about New York Times bestsellers. I don't care about any of that stuff.
No. Right now you're trying to help people and you're trying to teach people what you've learned.
That's exactly what it is. And those, I think those things happen organically if you do a good job.
Now, does your publisher let you... Because one thing I like about some authors is, because now you get people all excited. Let's say our listeners learn about you and they want to learn more about Freelance and Freedom. I haven't actually dug deeper into the site yet, but are you going to have an option on there where you can kind of let's say, give away a teaser chapter or something like that?
Yeah.
Do they let
you
do that?
We're in the works of doing that. Yeah,
cool.
They give me a lot of freedom.
And that's also a great way to build an email list, because people want to stay in touch for the book launch. Hey, yeah. I'm going to give you a free chapter or some power excerpts or whatever, because at least you're giving them something. I don't like going on sites where I see people like, oh yeah, how about my email list? I'm like, okay, what's in it for me?
Yeah, exactly. So, exactly.
But if you can give people a little warm taste, and it's like, oh man, they're going to stay excited and can't wait for the actual book to come out.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. I think that's the whole thing. Like, I've kind of figured this out. There's one thing I have figured out recently is like, when you want this stuff, even like with book reviews, and like I've got some great endorsements, but what I've learned is you want to give, everybody's like, how do you get in touch with these people? It's like, what I've learned is this: give more than you ever expect to get back before you ever even ask for anything. Mm-hmm. Now that's hard to do all the time in life, but it's the more you can do that. Like if you could offer somebody something that really helps them out, and then you go, oh, by the way, would you do this? You know, you're not doing it for the reason of getting something. You're giving more than they're ever going to give anyway.
Well, and the shorter statement, which I'm sure a lot of people have heard, is, has you ever heard of, oh, give more than you receive?
Yeah.
It's a very common statement. It's exactly what you're saying. Just give more than you receive, whether you're talking about the universe or positive energy or positive vibrations or everything's coming back to you. It is true. Like, just give, man. Like, don't worry about what you're getting in return.
But there's been the scarcity mindset of like, what it always comes down to is this: you're desperate in one way or the other, and you need it now. Mm-hmm. But I get it. I get the whole like Dave Ramsey thing, but I need to do this now. It's like, no. You have to either cut back now, do with less, and get the right mindset going. And because nobody wants to help a selfish person.
True.
Right?
Yes.
Nobody, I mean, no matter, you think you need this, but nobody wants to help a selfish person.
Well, it's like over the years, before I went firefighting, I'm always doing like these charity road biking events because I'm a cyclist. Mm-hmm. I have a buddy of mine. He's like, I never ask anybody for money to, because like usually like I was doing the MS-150 for multiple sclerosis for many years, and that was a 150-mile ride, but I had to raise at least $200 to $300 minimum to attend, or I just pay it myself. And my buddy's like, well, I hate asking for money. I just pay it myself. I'm like, well, you're a very successful dentist. Good for you. Yeah. And I was like, listen, man, I was like, it's not about that. I was like, I'm not asking them for money. I am putting this out there saying, hey, this is what I'm doing. And if you want to support my ride, here's the link. If you want to go do that, great. If not, it's cool too. Mm-hmm. And I've never had a problem meeting my fundraising goals because there's people out there who know that that's just what I do. I love to go ride. So I love the bike riding piece. Yeah. And then I get to bring all those people along with me because they know their dollars are doing something. And they can't bike 150 miles like I can, but I can for them.
But they can help that way.
And they can help that way, exactly. So I was trying to get him to wrap his head around that. Just didn't. He wasn't clicking. And I'm like, listen, man, it's cool. Go ahead. Yeah. Keep paying for your own entrance fees. I'm going to keep tossing it out there because there's people out there who don't have the fitness level yet, or they have the money and they don't have the time in their schedule or whatever. And they love doing stuff like that. They love helping friends of theirs do something bigger. And in the end, that's what it's about. Helping people do things that are bigger than themselves.
What's funny is that guy, Kyle Schultz, who I did this course with, he says there are people that buy his courses. They don't even need them, no. But they buy them because they want to support him because he's given so much to them.
Well, look at
so much.
What's Michael's story? That one of his first trainings he ever released, Michael O'Neill.
Yeah.
I think it was his social media ninja tactics. Like he ran back and looked at the data, and like 70% of the people never even opened it.
Is that right?
Yeah. Like never even opened the actual program.
Well, I think there's two parts of it. I think there's people that help, but Tony Robbins said the same thing. He said 70% of the people, when they go to his events, at like $5,000 or $10,000, 70% of them don't open even the stuff that they're given.
No.
Now, is that either, you know, it can go two ways or more. Either they want to just help out by giving them the money, or that they want to feel good by doing this stuff, but they don't actually want to do the work that it takes to get it done.
And there's tons of people like that. Let's be real. And that's okay, because at least they're doing something. And then, but hopefully they catch themselves, because I don't ever want to hear that come from something like a person like that come back and say, oh, well, I've gone to all of his events and I've just spent all this money and never went anywhere. I'm like, because you never actually took any action.
Yeah.
Just because you said you went there and you paid the bill doesn't mean it's all done. Like, he's not going to do it for you. He's a tool. He's a tool in the tool belt, man. Like, he's there to help you do what you have to do. That's it.
That's exactly right. And you have to do the work. And I think that's hard. I think in this, I think especially now on the online world, there's, you know, passive income. I think there's such an allure of quick money that, but when you, like you said, when you dig deep down, even into those big success stories that seem like quick, It never is. It's never that quick.
Well, it's like you kind of casually tagged in on Ramsey there, and hell, we'll tag back to Seth Godin and people like John Lee Dumas and Aaron Walker. Mm-hmm. I've had Aaron on the show.
Yep.
And let's be real, guys. Like, for our listeners, there's lots of gurus out there. There's lots of people who have different success stories. And what Vinny and I here are talking about here is like, listen, you guys got to at least take action. Go check some of these people out. It doesn't mean you have to follow them. It doesn't mean you have to follow 100% of what they're teaching you.
No.
Just start learning. And what I'm hearing from you and what we talked about in the past, because I'm remembering now our first episode together, was eventually you put together the pieces that fit your puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And you build your puzzle.
Yep.
Maybe you take one piece from John Lee Dumas and one piece from Seth and one piece from Ramsey and one piece, you know, it doesn't matter. The point is that you're taking action and you're building something to change your future.
Absolutely. I mean, John Lee Dumas, one thing I hear him say, focus, follow one course until success.
Yes.
That phrase is on both of my two oldest sons' doors when they go into their room.
Nice.
And so
it's a great acronym. I love it.
It is. It really, and so I don't have to listen to every podcast episode he does.
Yeah.
He has so much
value.
First
of all, it's impossible.
It's impossible to. I can't, it's a full time.
I've tried. It's like, no, seven days a week. That guy's crazy.
But he can say that one thing, which is something where my kids now see it every day.
Yeah.
And Aaron Walker, who's being in his mastermind groups, you know, how much, I mean, he's helped me unbelievably. All these people that you mentioned, every bit of it. But if I listen to them and don't do any of this stuff, if I don't have them, my kids write, follow one course until success. If I don't listen to Aaron's advice, I'll be sitting here saying, well, he's no good. I joined that and nothing happened.
Right.
Like, no, you have to take it and do something with it. It's just that simple.
Well, and you know, I think that's a great spot to start bringing our show towards an end here, because we're hitting on a lot of powerful points here. And I love the fact that you tied this back to your family and your sons. That's awesome, because it shows that it's not just happening for you, that it's bleeding over into other important areas of your life, including your family. And I think that's important to our listeners too, is that this isn't about just me or just you, that there's a bigger picture happening here. And it's not just our clients, and it's not always all business. You know, that's why you and I are on this show here today, you know, co-hosting together. It's like, guys, like, this is why I'm always talking about, we're talking about health and business and lifestyle, because you got to create this balance and remind yourself that it's not about you. It's about everybody else and you. You got to work on this together. So, but since it's been, well, heck, October, so what is it? Coming up on June. So since it's been, wow, 6-7 months, I'm sure in 6 and 7 months, you have a new way to close out our show. And if you can remember back, I like to give all the co-hosts a way to really just close it out and say, listen, what's that big picture message that you're trying to leave behind to our listeners? And then I'll talk to you once I end the recording here today. But I just want to make sure that you get that final message today out there, because I'm wondering if it's changed or grown in 6 or 7 months.
I don't remember what my last one was.
That's okay. So,
I don't want to repeat it.
Well, actually, okay. Hold on. The beauty of blogging is your final words from October were, to not stop doing. When you have a conversation with somebody and you hear about regrets they had about something they wanted to do, but they for some reason just stopped, don't be the one that feels that regret. And then your last statement is, even through the hard times, you have to keep going. Don't get overwhelmed by it. Just be better than yesterday. So if I took all that other, that last piece right there, I loved, just be better than yesterday.
And that's where I was, maybe I'm just boring or consistent, but that's exactly where I was going to go. Cause I was wondering if I was going to say that. Cause that is my.
And there's nothing wrong with that, because guess what? That's perfect for our listeners, guys. Like, it's been 6-7 months later. Why does it have to change?
It does. I appreciate that. Cause that is the key to me. Like when I have not focused on being better than yesterday, that's when I've gotten overwhelmed. That's when I go, oh my goodness, there's 70 things around the house I have to get done. Hmm. Right? There's like, oh, I haven't done this. But when I go, okay, all I got to do today is just paint the molding in the bathroom. Right? If I do that, then tomorrow I'm going to do the moldings over here in the basement.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a second. If I do that every day and, oh, I haven't been listening to enough podcasts, I need to get more. Well, what I figured out is take one podcast, get information, take notes for my platform while painting. So I do the... Now I feel a lot more relieved. You do that with anything in your life, you don't have the overwhelm.
I'm the same way. Like I appreciate you clarifying that for people, because that's how I do it. People are like, how do you get all these different people on your podcast? I said, when I'm traveling, I schedule my time to listen to other podcasts and eBooks mm-hmm. while I'm traveling because I have nothing else to do in the car and whatever. And then if something really hits home, I take a little note or I tweet that episode and then I tag the person that was in that episode or the founder of that podcast or that book so they know that I'm talking about them. And then I've already got it in my, this is my new program. And then it's in my Twitter history.
I love it.
And then when I get home or in my hotel, I'll go back and I'll private message them through Twitter. I do a lot of getting just by using Twitter now because I give more than I receive. I tweet them. So they know that, hey, I shared your episode or I shared your book and I really enjoyed it, blah, blah, blah. And then I at least reach out and say separately, hey, if you ever want to come on the show, I'd love to promote this better. And some respond and some don't. But at least if I'm doing that a couple times a week, I'm building up some momentum. And maybe I hear back a week later or 2 weeks later. But compared to when I first launched the show in September, like I only had like five people lined up.
And I was one of them.
So, exactly. So it's like, hey, a lot has changed, right? We put in the reps. We start taking action.
But right there, what you just learned and what you just described, I would pay for that. Okay. I would buy that course. But most of us will have that and we'll go, oh, that's normal. But we're all sitting here like, that's brilliant. Like, but if you put that together in a course, I'd buy it because I go, well, I love
And that's
that
my
method.
Giving to you.
There you go, man. I appreciate it.
Because Vinny Todorich, that's why he's had me on his show now. And he's been back on my show three times. He gets a million downloads a month. He's blowing up because now he's a guest co-host on the Adam Carolla podcast, which is one of the biggest podcasts out there.
Is that right?
He's bigger than Johnny Dumas, man. His downloads are ridiculous. It's Adam Carolla, the comedian. I mean,
what's so weird? That's so much funny you mentioned that. I was on another podcast, Raymond Hatfield's The Beginning Photographers podcast. And for some reason, I saw Adam Carolla's name coming up in terms of like looking at it. I'm like, is he into sports photography? I was so surprised by that. So,
I mean, he's a race car collector and driver. And I don't know. Weird Adam's into everything, man. I have no idea.
Okay.
but so hang tight here. We're going to talk more about this to close this out because I do have to leave to that business dinner here. But real quick for our listeners, guys. As I already told you, go to his website, check him out. If go back to episode 11, okay, and search for his name. You can just search for Vincent in the website or just go to livethefield.com/011. All the links to his profiles are on there. When this episode airs, we still do the kick-ass show notes. So again, everything will be linked so you guys can click to him and follow him and everything else. Obviously, we have YouTube now, so this exact episode will be available on YouTube as well if you want to actually physically see what we're talking about, my hands flying around and talking. But the point here is, go back to his point, his final words from episode 11 in October. It's the same today. Don't get overwhelmed by life, guys. Okay, just be better than yesterday. Keep taking action. So again, guys, this is what we're all about. We're here to keep firing you up on a daily basis. Okay, health, business, lifestyle. We've just done it again. And I'm excited for this new book coming out. And you guys are going to get rocked by it because, again, Freelance to Freedom, it's going to change your life because it's changed ours. So again, guys, keep living the fired up epic life. We'll talk to you guys again soon. Hey there, Live the Fuel fans. Quick commercial break. Before we close out the episode, just wanted to give you some extra tips and tricks before we send you on your way. So again, thank you again for listening to the Live the Fuel show. I hope you got a lot out of this recent episode. More importantly, please subscribe to the show if you haven't subscribed yet. Stay in touch. Get me some feedback. Submit a review on iTunes or Stitcher and get us the voice of you, the listener, so we can build this content back into the show and make sure that I'm actually taking you, the listener, into this design and future as Live the Fuel grows. So again, subscribe, submit a review, stay in touch. Heck, on that point, go visit livethefueltank.com. Livethefueltank.com. That will take you to the link to our private Facebook group community where you can join and I can stay more in touch with you going forward outside of the podcast world. All right, last quick little piece here for you guys, some extra value. One, go to livethefuel.com main page. You'll see on there we have our free resources guide. If you are looking for free content and not having to pay for it, consider getting on my email list. You click on the button, send me my copy, get your Super Sevens resources guide. There's over 21 of my favorite online resources that I've built into this little electronic guide for you guys. There's no cost. It'll just be emailed to you just by hopping on my email. Again, just thank you for listening. I want to give you some value. Second piece of my little extra nuggets of knowledge, if you want to call it this, is go to the resources section on the site. In there, I have three columns, health, business, lifestyle. And two, right off the bat, that I want to make sure you guys are taking advantage of is number one, eatpillynuts.com. And number two, villacapelli.com. Their logos are on the site. You got a big bowl of nuts there. And you got a cool big V, Power V logo. Both of those, if you use the discount code FUEL, F-U-E-L, you will get 10% off at checkout. So take advantage of that, please. And thank you. And more importantly, there's other companies linked on there. My nutritional and health alignment with Isagenix since 2010. The Pure Vitamin Club company for their kick-ass magnesium B12 and an awesome multi-cap. There's some additional business resources on there. Number one, Singularis IT. I go mountain biking and road cycling with the founder. This is a legitimate IT company. I don't care where you are in the world. You can use their services. We're talking about serious white glove level services. I've moved all of my IT solutions over to them, and I outsource them regularly for any future and onboarding clients down the road. And lastly, but not leastly, David Studio. If you have no clue who this guy is, guess what? He is my new audio engineer. This is the guy I've been having making it happen behind the scenes. I found him through the Fiverr world. So if you search for David, D-A-V-I-D, Studio on Fiverr, you can track this guy down. But guess what? He's also on the Upwork platform. He's on the People Per Hour platform. You can search for him through his real name. I've never literally physically met this guy or talked to him in person. We have been just met through the online world. But if you search for E-M-I-N, that's I believe pronounced Emin, and Fikic, which is F as in Frank, I-K-I-C, you can search for him in Upwork. People per hour. Oh, more importantly, just go to Fiverr like I did. But if you are a podcaster or somebody just looking to get quality audio engineering, this is your guy. So again, guys, I'll let you get back to your day. Thanks again for listening to Live the Fuel. We'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.